So good to see you tonight. Welcome to church at night. Big crowd, loved that. So glad you came out. Christmas is such a beautiful time to get together to celebrate Jesus, put Jesus in the middle of our holidays. It's not a holiday, it's Christmas, right? So good, so good. I love Christmas and I love the Christmas service. One of the things that I've done for years has told a few jokes for Christmas, and so my joke this morning really didn't do so well, and you didn't laugh at all, like it just boom. So I need you just to fake it. If you don't laugh, I'm going to keep telling jokes until you do. So you got to do better tonight. So that's the setup. You know, it's always good when you tell people to laugh at your joke, but since the kids are in here, I always like to help them enjoy the service as well. So a couple jokes. So first of all, you need to know that I was listening on some conversations from the North Pole, and I caught up on a few stories. I heard that Santa Claus was having some prayer requests this year. He had gained a little weight over the holidays. Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, hadn't we all? So, but he was worried that he wasn't going to fit down the chimneys this year, so he needed prayer for his claustrophobia. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's cold in the North Pole. You know it's cold there, and supposedly Mrs. Claus wanted a garden, and she was, you know, excited about gardening, but it's too cold. And but the truth really came out that it was all about Santa. He didn't want to ho, ho, ho all year long. So he didn't. So through all the stress in the North Pole, because busy, you know, it's so busy. All the stress was going on. Somebody noticed Frosty was really stressed out this year. And so fortunately he had a friend come to him and helped him cool down before he had a meltdown. All right, that's it. Come on, that's it. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. All right, so my sermon title tonight is You're Worth It. You're Worth It. Look at somebody right beside you and say, I hope you bought me a good gift because, baby, I'm worth it. Say it. And ladies, you got to put a little tuh at the end of it. Baby, I'm worth it. I'm worth it. Put a little attitude in it. You're worth it. You're worth it. You're worth it. I love Christmas. I love to celebrate. I think Christmas is amazing because we celebrate the birth of Jesus. It's an annual celebration. We get to focus some attention. We should focus more attention on Christ during the holidays. But we celebrate Jesus. It's interesting, some of the ways we celebrate Jesus. And when we take a tree from outside and we bring it inside. Like, how weird is that? But that's part of celebrating the birth of Jesus. We have a tree in our house, and then we put stuff on the tree. We put lights on the tree. It's great. I love it. How many of you are fake tree or real tree? Real tree people, raise your hand. Man, I love you guys. I love you. I have a confession. This year, we went fake tree this year. Oh, I know. But I'm going to let you know, it is just as pretty as the day I put it up. I haven't had to water it. It's great. So good. But we do stuff for Christmas. We wear funny sweaters. I saw some of you tonight in some funny sweaters. And like you meant for it to be a great sweater. And we eat a lot of food, cookies, sing Christmas carols. It's so good. We do so much to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And as I said, it's not a holiday for us. We are putting Christ in the day. We're putting Christ in the week. We throw this month-long party to celebrate Jesus. And if you're going to the store to shop this week, because it's too late if you want Amazon, too late. I looked to see, it's too late. They said that will not make it by Christmas. So you have to go to a store. And listen, I got a sermon for you if you're still shopping. I have a margin series that we can do. Like, you need some margin in your life because you're stressing out. If you go to the store and the cashier who's at this point, you know, stressed out, and she says to you, because the company policy is say happy holidays, you know, after you say, you know, listen, we're so appreciative of you being here. And just say, you know, back to him, just in a polite way, just Merry Christmas. Because somehow saying Christmas just ministers in a way because you put Christ in it. And so we want to keep Christ in it. We want to celebrate the birth of Jesus because Jesus is worth it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Birthdays should be celebrated. Birthdays should be celebrated. Do you know that heaven celebrates the birth of every new believer as well? Heaven celebrates that. Now, we know that we have a natural birthday and we have a spiritual birthday, natural birthday. So today is Natalie Lucero's birthday. Where are you at, Natalie? Come on, give Natalie a little celebration. Woohoo! 18 years old, that's awesome. Today is also Lachlan's dad's birthday. So David Holmes, all the way from Australia, is here. Welcome David and Margie to church today. You get like the longest distance traveler award, so great. It's good to have your family in town, it's awesome. So we have natural birthdays, we have spiritual birthdays. And heaven celebrates spiritual birthdays. That day that you decided to follow Christ, that day that the Holy Spirit came alive inside of you. It's like every spiritual birth is a Christmas day in heaven. Man, how good is heaven going to be? It's going to be Christmas birthdays every day. It's cake and ice cream every day in heaven. I'm telling you, this is going to be great. Get saved for the ice cream. That's all I'm saying. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15:7, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God. There is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. In other words, heaven responds to our decision to follow Christ. I want to take us for just a moment and look at one part of the prodigal son story that we've been in. And we've talked about this story for this month. And there's this moment where we know that the prodigal son had gone away. He was wayward and wasteful, sinful, and he comes back to his father. And there's that moment where he's forgiven. And it illustrates that through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. We can be saved from our sin and we can be born again. That's the kind of the point of that part of the story, that through Jesus we can have our sins forgiven. Since it's Christmas, I have a Christmas verse for you, Matthew 1:21. It says, she will give birth to a son, that's Mary, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And why did he come? Because he will save his people from their sins. In other words, we have a birth date because of Jesus Christ. For every person that says yes to Jesus, we have this birth date, and there's been a celebration in heaven because of those birth dates. So the parable is about the spiritual birth of this son. And the father's so happy, and he throws this party. We talked about the party. Let me read you a little bit about this party in Luke 15:22. It says, his father said to his servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him and put a ring on his finger, sandals, feet. And then he said, kill the calf. Kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for his son of mine is dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. And I want to take a moment and just think about that calf for just a second. It was in there. What was the symbolic meaning of this fattened calf? Why was that part of this celebration? And let me just tell you a little bit about this fattened calf, because it was important and part of the story of why the father, in part of this celebration, said, let's get the fattened calf. And so in that culture, only the wealthiest landowners would have the ability to have a fattened calf. Only the wealthiest could do that. They would take from their calves that were born that year, and they would select one, maybe two at the most, of their most perfect calves they had. They would find the healthiest, the ones that looked the best, the ones that you know were the biggest, and then they would pull that calf aside from all the rest, and they would take special care of this calf. He was designed to be for a celebration. They didn't put him out with the rest of the other cattle to graze. He was too valuable for that. They made sure he had plenty of food and plenty of water. He was protected from all the elements from outside. He had the finest of the hay, the finest of the grain, and they fattened him up. They were preparing him for a celebration. He was the most significant of all the animals they had, and he was the most valuable animal they had on the property. So when the father ordered the servants to prepare the fattened calf, the story is illustrating that this son's celebration was so significant, his salvation was so significant that we want to go get the most valuable thing that they had. Like something of great value was to be associated with his salvation with the son. It was the one that they had prepared that for this celebration. He was the most valuable of all. Why the most valuable? Because the son was worth it. The son was worth it. And I want to say to you today that you are worth it. You are worth it. You are worth Jesus being born. You are worth it. Christmas 2019, you are worth it. Somewhere back in God's ability to see time, he knew that you would be coming into Christmas 2019, and he said, you were worth it. I would come for you. You were worth Jesus suffering and dying on a cross. You were worth it. You were worth the celebration in heaven. You were worth the trumpets being blown in heaven. When people give their life to Christ, somehow, some way, there's this connection in heaven and there's a celebration in heaven. And somehow, in some way, I don't understand it all. I don't need to, but I know that there's a celebration when one person turns to Christ. There's a celebration because we are worth it. You are worth it. Your value to God is not based on your job. It's not based on how good of a parent you are. It's not based on how well you've done in school. So you can't increase your value to God. You cannot decrease your value to God. You could have yelled at your kids on the way to church tonight, and God still values you the same. Now, he doesn't want you to do that. Don't get me wrong. Your kids didn't like it either. But it doesn't change your value. You could have had a breakdown in your car this week before work. You could be at low moments, but God values you because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Just because you're lost or maybe hurting or broken in some way, maybe there's some hurt from within, something's going on, you feel maybe like less than in some ways, you need to know that God values you. You're worth it. Someone probably walked in here tonight thinking that their value was based on what the world says is valuable. And I'm here to tell you that God says you're worth it. It doesn't matter what anyone has said to you in your life. It doesn't matter how good or how bad you've been. God says you're worth it. You're valuable. The world doesn't dictate your value. God determines your value. I have a simple little illustration for you tonight. And I was thinking about how do you express value that doesn't change. And so I brought a $1 bill. Now, that's not a lot of money. You're worth more than a dollar. But it's Christmas, and that's all I have left. But you know what? This piece of paper has value because it says the United States of America, and they put a seal on it, and they said that's worth a dollar. And that's what it's worth. It's worth a dollar. I could, listen, this dollar bill I have is torn. It looks like someone's been eating chocolate ice cream on it. Probably. But you know, you could take this $1 bill and you could wad it up. You could step on it. I've washed dollar bills before. You can do all kinds of things to it. But it doesn't change the value of it. And the reason it doesn't change value is because the dollar bill doesn't find its value from what happens to it, or where it goes, or who's touched it, who's handled it, what someone said about it. The dollar bill gets value because our government said it's worth a dollar. And I want to say that you have value because God said, I love you. God said, you're worth the fatted calf. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care who's messed with you. I don't care where you've been. None of that matters because God has put a seal on you. And he said, you're mine. And I value you. This Christmas, I want you to know you're worth it. You're worth Jesus being born. You're worth the cross. You're worth it. I want to pause with this last thought here. That people always take care of what they value. People always take care of what they value. The greater the value, the greater the care. The things that's most precious to you, you take the most care of. If it has little value, you don't take care of it. People always take care of what they value. And I want you to know that God always takes care of what he values. He values you. And he wants to take care of you. And so tonight, I just want to take this moment for a moment of prayer. Because I know that sometimes through Christmas, we have different struggles. We have different things going on. And maybe your Christmas isn't all cheerful. Maybe your Christmas isn't all about cookies. Maybe your Christmas isn't ideal. Maybe it doesn't look like Hallmark. Maybe you're struggling in some area of your life. Maybe there's a health issue. Maybe, I don't know. Listen, I just know that, none of us have everything going perfect right now. And we all need a God that cares for us. We all need a God that will say, you matter. I've got my eye on you. And so as we sit right here, right now, I want to give you an opportunity just to let the Holy Spirit from God come from heaven to earth to minister to your needs because you're worth it. Would you just bow your heads? I just want to pray for you. And maybe just right here in your seat at your moment, you have a struggle that you want to say, God, will you take care of it? Because you care for me. God, would you move on that? Maybe you have a prodigal son or daughter that isn't at home and they're wayward. And you say, God, will you take care of that? Maybe you have a financial need. God, would you take care of that? Maybe you have a marriage situation. God, would you help take care of that? Maybe there's something going on. Just say this in your own words to the Lord. Dear Lord, just say, God, you know my need. Tell him what it is. You don't even have to say it out loud. Just in your head. Just begin to just have that moment. Say, I need you to help me take care of this. Then I just want you to thank Jesus because he says you're worth it today. And what he says has value. He says he takes care of. He's here for you. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Listen, Jesus is worth the greatest celebration because he died for us, because he said you're worth it. And so take the rest of this week. Keep Christ right in the middle of it. And let's show him that he's worth it from our heart to him. Amen, church. Amen. I love you. God bless, church.